Good evening. No, we hadn't been here that long. It just may seem like that. Actually, we're on time here. We're doing well. How many of y'all know you need an oil change? You need an oil. Everybody say, I need an oil change. Say it again. Say, I need an oil change. Now, if any of y'all were to go down to Jiffy Lube down here and you were going, it's right down the street about two blocks this way, and you were going to get an oil change in your car, and you got to Jiffy Lube and they wanted to put oil in, but your car took 4 quarts, but all they had on hand was 3 quarts. And so the guy at Jiffy Lube says, no problem, I'll put the 3 quarts in and leave a quart of your dirty oil with it. What would you think? You'd find a different Jiffy Lube, wouldn't you? You say, no, because what happens when you leave that 1 quart of bad and mix it with the 3 good? It all changes the bad, you know, because what makes oil bad is it burns, it gets debris, as your engine gets hot, it creates that crud and that silicone and all that kind of junk that clogs up your motor and your injectors and everything else. And just because you have 3 quarts of good doesn't mean it would take the bad out of that 1 quart. When you get your oil changed, you want 4 quarts of regular good grade oil. I don't care if you might be some of you may be the synthetic folks. Because it'll get your car, I think with synthetic, you can change your oil every 30,000 miles. And some of it have the high grade, it's not so synthetic. I don't know what it is. I never get the synthetic because it's like $100. The synthetic, it's $100. I had no way, Jose, I ain't doing that. I'm not paying $100. But you know, if I invested that $100 up front and I put it on that oil change on that synthetic, my car would run longer. It would have less breakdowns. I would have fewer oil changes. But I see things now instead of seeing them in the distant future. I'm looking in my pocket and I got $29.95. And if you can't do the oil change here for $29.95, then I'm down the road. And I'm looking for coupons. I want to get to $29.95 or $19.95 on Tuesdays. And don't you dare put any old oil in it. I want the full oil change. And you better vacuum and clean my windshield too with all that. Well, we're like that. We come to the Lord. We sing that song, Change Our Heart, O Lord. Make us ever true. Change Our Heart, O Lord. Make me more like you. I want to be like you, so I want you to give me an oil change, dear Lord. But we want to keep a quart of the bad stuff. You know, we may have some stuff. Maybe we curse. I don't curse on Sundays, especially in church. But the minute somebody cuts you off on Luetta Drive as you're going home, more four-letter words come out of yourself than a sailor on Saturday. You got anger issues. You don't show it in church. In church, you're the most peaceful, lovable person. People love you. You love them. You give them big hugs. You give them kisses on the cheek. You tell them everything. But then, you know, Monday morning comes, and you're Attila the Hun with an attitude. Have you ever, 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 somebody ever tick you off and you avoid them? You don't take their phone calls because of caller ID. You know they're going to be at church on Sunday, so you don't show up that Sunday. You know they're going to that restaurant for lunch, so you pick a different restaurant. Have you ever done that? No, of course not. If you do, you need an oil change. Okay? If any of you have ever had unforgiveness in your heart for somebody who's betrayed you or mocked you or abused you or done things in your life and you carry that unforgiveness in your heart, as my wife was talking about during the communion, you need an oil change. You know, some of us guys, if you hadn't learned to keep your eyes on just your wife, you need an oil change. And a brain change soon, because the wife will find out and she'll put you in check. You know, you'll learn. Some of us guys are just dumb as a bag of rocks. It takes us years to learn. They know everything we think and everything we're thinking about thinking. You know, kids always say, you know, their mama got eyes in the back of their heads. Women are equipped differently. They do have eyes in the back of their heads. They have that thing called women's intuition, which is just a spirit of discernment. Us guys, we don't have no radar at all. We're like the train that bounces off the wall and goes finds another wall. We just bounce. Some of you guys may be mad at me, but if you a guy, you know it. We bump off the walls, and we figure after bumping into about 10 walls, this ain't good. I ain't going to do it no more. We've got to get to a place that we get the entire oil changed, because we want the Lord to change us from the inside out. We want the outside to represent properly. We are ambassadors of Christ. We should not leave here and on Monday act like a fool. We should have the complete change. But you know the best thing about our Lord and Savior is He can give you an oil change, and He ain't afraid to do it right now. He don't care how dirty the oil is. He don't mind getting his hands all dirty and nasty, climbing under your hood and just taking all the bad out and pouring in all the new. And then just because you've been going to church 30 years don't mean your oil's clean. You know, I talk about folks, there's certain different types of folks in this life. There are those folks that don't have spare tires in their cars. And when they get flat, they don't have a spare. And they're stuck. And they're the same person that calls me every time, "Pastor, can you help me out? I don't have a spare tire." Well, you didn't have a spare tire 5 years ago. When is it a time to make that change? Probably after the first flat you had. Maybe it would have been time before you had a flat to put a spare tire in your car. Then there's the second class of folks. The folks that have a spare tire, but it ain't got no air. And they haven't checked it in years. And then when they get pulled over on the side of the road, they pull it out and it's flat. Imagine that. Then there's those folks that not only have the spare tire, but every time they get in the car to go on a trip or go across town, they check the air. They have an air gauge in their glove compartment, and they put it on there and they check it. They check to make sure the air is right. And those people probably never have flats. It seems like those kind of people never seem to have problems. It seems like those people always are the ones helping. They're always the lender and not the borrower. They're always prepared for things. When you're not prepared, they're the ones we call, because they have not. Sometimes they're so good, they carry a spare for you too. Not only the spare they have, but they carry the spare that's for you. And as Christians, we are supposed to be that way. We're supposed to carry the spare for those that aren't carrying their own spare. But we're supposed to teach you to go get a spare. You have to be in that place. Get your Bibles. Go to Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. I have a gentleman. He's a customer of mine. He calls me Bartimaeus. And he gets the scriptures he gets them confused. You know, you ever know those people that confuse Noah and Moses and all the stories in the Bible and everything else? Well, he gets it confused because he thinks Bartimaeus is Zacchaeus. And when he walks into Saks Fifth Avenue, from across the store where everybody in the place can hear, he will say, "Bartimaeus, come out of your tree." And I will be like, oh no, he didn't. Why is he here? Now, Norman Freddy used to be up around 252, 260, and he's probably a little taller than me. He's in his 70s now, and he wears nothing but T-shirts and jeans. The same color jeans, he wears a black T-shirt, and he wears a black pair of jeans, and he orders 30 of them at a time. The jeans are $300 a piece. And the T-shirts are $100 a piece. Now, you'd think somebody with that kind of cash would order different colors. If I have money, I'm going to have my Monday outfit, my Tuesday outfit, my Wednesday outfit, my Thursday outfit. I'm going to at least look like I've done laundry. If you know what I mean. Here, you know, you have all the money, but he likes keeping life simple. He likes the fit of those jeans. He likes the shirt because now at age 72, he's got a six-pack. His abdomen is tight as just hit it right there. He's got muscles rippling down the arms. He's got everything going. He's going to show it off. And he's going to put on the best-looking T-shirt to show people, because he remembers in his 50s he was overweight. He was an alcoholic. He was everything you could imagine. And he has been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to show it on the outside to everybody. This is what my body looks like. At 72, he could arm wrestle anybody in this room except maybe Carl and Wynn. But he got saved later in his life. Bum Phillips. Bum Phillips. Love you blue. Michael is supposed to take me down to see Bum Phillips in a few weeks over at the ranch in Goliad, which is just north of Beeville. Bum Phillips thought he knew God. He thought he knew who God was. He had a lifestyle where he knew there was a God. He thought if you did enough good things, you would get to heaven. And that's the way a lot of us are. We think we earn our way to heaven. We can do good things. But let me tell you today, as I've always told you, you cannot do good enough things to get in. You cannot do bad enough things to get out. It is God's grace to get you in heaven, only that. But Bum didn't understand grace. He didn't understand any of that stuff. And he was with Mike Barber down in that same prison where Cameron's at. And they were down there one day, and he was listening to Mike Barber give the word and preaching about Jesus. And Bum says, I don't know that Jesus. And at the age of 76, he gives his life to the Lord. The age of 84, he just released his book telling everybody how he received God and Christ the Savior. And I'm believing that Bum will come up here and speak and tell about it, because he's a man's man. People listen to him because he's one of those respected coaches. But how these men that were respectful, these people that have been up in age, people that thought they knew Lord, they thought all these things, they knew there was an empty place. Money, sports, car dealerships, everything else did not fill that empty space. There's a hunger and a longing and a thirst for his righteousness, and it's only found one place. We get in that place of hungering for it. We don't know what it is. We may use drugs. We may use relationships. We may travel a lot. We may be career junkies where we get ourselves at our job and our work, and we bury ourselves thinking that's going to satisfy us. But there's only one thing that will satisfy that yearning, and it's Christ. It's so simple, we don't wait. We wait till the end of our lives to figure it out. I'm thinking, I'm 51 now. I want to get my temple in shape, Carl, because I just don't want to just get revelation of who God is now and then up and take the dirt nap. Some of y'all got that. I don't. I just don't want to get it at age 51, and then at 52, y'all say, well, he was a good pastor. No, I want to go on the next 50 years preaching the gospel, sharing the good news with people, getting folks to a place of receiving Christ. I want my latter to surpass the former. So I had to make some changes, and still am. I was at that wedding last night, Carl, and all I saw was that big black man standing over my shoulder saying, what's edible and what's not? What's good for you? What's not? I had a big black angel behind me. I could see your face every time I took a bite. Oh, we're waiting for the groom's cake? Bet you that's not on Carl's list. But we do. We're here to hold each other accountable. We're here for accountabilities. We're supposed to admonish each other in love. It means we don't beat each other down. When Carl brought this ministry, I said, only thing I don't want to have happen is a bunch of skinny people looking at the other folks going, ha, ha, ha. Nana, nana, boo, boo. I said, I don't want anybody to ever look down on anybody, especially because I wasn't sure I could do it. So I don't want them looking down on me. We got to show as much grace as we expect. But as Christians, we also want to instruct our brothers and sisters how to have that life more abundant that Christ promised us. He came to give us life and life more abundant, not just in heaven, but here on earth. And the world has sold us a pack of lies, and we bought into it. Now I'll get on with my sermon. That was my little mini sermon before the sermon. Chapter 19:1, we're going to talk about Zacchaeus, not Bartimaeus. I keep trying to tell Norman, it's Zacchaeus in the tree, not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a blind guy on the side of the road on Jericho. Just, you get it right, and he still, for 4 years, calls me Bartimaeus. He ain't figured it out. I guess as long as he keeps buying jeans and t-shirts, he can call me whatever he wants. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, ta-da, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was rolling. He had cash. He was somebody who had some things. But it also says he was a publican, a tax collector. I will tell you, in that time, he was a Jewish man that charged usury upon his Jewish brothers. That not only was that against the law, for the Jewish law, if you ever know the Jewish culture, you don't mess with your brothers and sisters. You don't charge them usury if you loan them money, and you don't have a lawsuit with them. That's where we get where it's not right for us to sue our brothers and sisters. It comes from the Jewish law, the fact that if we got an issue, what are we supposed to do? If I have a problem with you, Frenchie, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to take it up with you. Now, what if I take it up with you and we still got a problem? We go to the elders of the church, and then what do we do on the third round? Break out the firing squad. On the third time, we bring it before the pastor and whatever the ultimate authority in that community is, or if it's a community of believers, or if it's a community like in the city of Spring. In other words, we don't get to the lawyers. We don't call one tough lawyer, Jim Adler. We don't go there, especially when it's a brother or sister. And see, in the Jewish culture, you don't sue another Jewish person because that is your blood. Sort of like when you married couples, you don't talk bad about your spouses because you are one, bone of bone, flesh of flesh. So no man ever hateth his own flesh, but he nourishes it and he cherishes it. So why would we come against one another as brothers and sisters in Christ? Why would we talk about one another? Why would we have lawsuit or legal things? Why can't we get along? Why can't we just get along? Linda, if you can turn the air up a little warmer in here, I think a few folks are going to freeze to death in this place. Not speaking death, by the way. They'll just turn purple. But there was a rich man named Zacchaeus that had been profiting over his brothers and sisters. He was a tax collector. He could make it up as he went. He had fine clothes. He lived in a fine house. Say he needed $1,000 for an Armani suit. You can't get an Armani suit for $1,000 anymore. Say he needed $2,200 for an Armani suit now. He would go over to Lauren's house, and he would knock on the door. It was tax time. And Zacchaeus would say, Lauren, and you would say, oh, no, it's Zacchaeus outside the door, and he's come for tax time. And he would have some Roman army with him, some army guys, some soldiers that he brought with him. That would it were his enemy, but they were working for him. He would say, and Lauren's thinking she's got to pay $500 in taxes, but Zacchaeus, being the guy he is, he jumps at $2,200 because he needs a new suit, so he tells her it's been jumped to $2,700. Y'all got problems with our present administration, or you got problems with government taxes, or you got problems. Back in this day, you really didn't have a say-so or nothing. When the publican or the tax collector came, he banged at the door, and when he told Lauren, you got to give me $2,700, because he knew Lauren had it, if she said no, he would say, okay, guards, tear the place up. And they would come in, and they would destroy everything in her household. The next time he came knocking, she amazingly had $2,700 to give up. That's how tax collecting worked back in that day. So you can imagine Zacchaeus could not go out on the street by himself. Zacchaeus is the father of ace check cashing. Zacchaeus is the father of $35 fees at Wells Fargo that doesn't cost him but $2. And he is the father of the pawn shop. He is the father of all those outrageous usury fees that you're given. But of course, if you learn how to handle your finances, you know, this thing in our wallet, this ATM card, it's not the, when you go to the ATM, it's not the proverbial money tree that just keeps giving till there ain't giving no more. And the young people in this life like to use this card till it's used up. And then that's how they balance their account. They balance their account, as long as it keeps giving me money, I still got money. Even though I've used it at restaurants and gas stations, that sometimes takes 2 to 3 weeks to clear. And so when it comes up on me, but Wells Fargo's my buddy, they're my friend, they're Zacchaeus, he loves me, and they will let me have overdraft protection at the cost of $35 a hit for my inability to balance a checkbook, because I don't even have a checkbook. All I use is this plastic card. I can tell by the eyes in this place, some of y'all have been in that position. We resemble that remark. This little piece of plastic has put a bunch of us in hock and in debt. It's put us in bad places. I'm not even talking about credit cards here. I'm talking about your own cash, not knowing what you have in there. Some of us don't want to look in the account because we know there ain't nothing there. So we do this faith thing, the Hail Mary. Just boom, I know it's going to come out. I mean, I know I'm overdrawn $50 and I don't want to look and I don't want to call. I don't want to star 823 nothing. I want to just believe that there's cash in it. I went to the altar. I had Pastor Bart pray for me, so I'm praying for a miracle. Bring it on. Zacchaeus was the father of that, and you can imagine how much hatred. You know, he was IRS amped up by 100. He was not liked. He was so disliked. You could imagine if he was out on the streets roaming without his posse and without his bodyguards and stuff. What would have happened to Zacchaeus? He's a gone man. He's deader than he's a dead dog. You know. So we look at this situation. You got to envision who he is before you look at this and just read. And it says there, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. We don't know what race he was. We don't know what color of eyes. We don't know how old he was. In fact, this is the only time Zacchaeus is mentioned in the entire Word of God. We do know this. He was a short thing. He was little of stature. And we know that he wanted to see Jesus. And when he went to see Jesus, he had to take his Armani off and he had to put on his common clothes. And he had to leave without his protective bodyguards because he did not want to go into the city and them know who he was. He wanted to see Jesus. So he left the safety of his wealthiness. He left the safety of what he had because he wanted to see him so bad that he stepped down a little bit so he could get to him. And he sought him, and he was little of stature. When he got there, the crowd was so big that he was jumping up, and he couldn't get over the crowd. And he would go over here, and they would just push him back. It would be like Miss Judy trying to get around David. It ain't going to happen. All David's got to do is go boom, and Judy flies. She jumps. She's jumping, Judy. That's right. And he ran before, and he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. See, Jesus always went the same way. Boom, boom, boom. Everybody knew his pattern. Everybody knew. Like everybody knows here, the lighthouse is open on Wednesday nights at 7:30. That don't change even if a hurricane comes. Everybody knows that we start on Sunday morning at 10:45. It ain't going to change. Even if the building ain't here, you'll see our bodies on the parking lot at 10:45, praising God, probably going a little long with the worship like we always do. Okay? We don't change. We're consistent. Jesus was consistent about his walk. Whether two people show up at this place or 2,000 show up, I'm going to show up to preach. I have preached on the day of Hurricane Ike. It was Avery, his brother, myself, Eileen, and Stephen Von Hecker. And we sat here and had church service with no air, no lights, muggy, hot, yuck. Jesus was consistent. They knew he wasn't going to take your appointment. See, a lot of you, Pastor, can you come make an appointment and have lunch with me on Tuesday because I really have a need? Well, where the heck were you on Sunday? I know where I was. I'm serious. Everybody wants my time. You know where I am. You know I'm at Saks. If you want to, you can call me and you can have lunch with me at Saks and meet with me because you know I'm there. I'm consistently there at the same times unless I take my vacation days. In this church, you know where I'm at. You don't have to make an appointment. Just show up. See, that's what they knew about Jesus. They couldn't make an appointment with him. He wasn't on their planner or the to-do list. He just knew to get to Jesus, you had to show up where he was doing things. And he walked this road in Jericho like he always walked this road in Jericho. And Zacchaeus knew, if I'm right there on that road to Jericho, I'm going to find what I need. The money hasn't taken care of it. The clothes hadn't taken care of it. The people hate me. I hate myself. I need deliverance right now. And the only place I'm going to get it is when I touch that man, like the woman with the issue of blood. She knew if she could touch the hem of his garment, she could be set free. Amen. He didn't care he was too short to get it past the crowd. He elbowed, he punched, he kicked, he couldn't get across. So he said, there's a tree. He must have not always been wealthy and rich. He must have come out of hood sometime in his life, because he got up and he climbed that tree like a little monkey going up the side of it. And he got to the top of the sycamore and he climbed out on the limb so he could overview and see Jesus. Sometimes getting to him is not all that easy. You're going to have to do something different. But you're going to have to go where he is. And I found he's everywhere. You just have to be able to spot him and know where he is and know what he does and how he speaks. But he gets out on the limb. He got past the crowd. He figured out his surroundings. He looked at his atmosphere. He said, I can't do it physically, but there's a tree and I'm climbing up, because by golly, today is my day. Everybody say, today is my day. Woo! When you realize today is my day, you know this is the day of reckoning. This is the day that things are going to change. This is a time that you're going to Jiffy Lube and every bit of the oil is going to be taken out and all the new oil is going to be put in. You're going to be having fresh oil from heaven. You're going to be in that place where the oil is clear and you no longer have that urge to cuss on Monday or 5 seconds after church on Sunday. You've lost that urge to eat those things you're not supposed to eat, to date those folks you should not date, to hang with them people you should not be hanging with. Because your oil's changed. You're running good. You ain't got no knock on the lifters anymore. It's just, your Toyota sounds like a Lexus. You know when you got that hoopty and you ain't changed out oil because you're living on a prayer. Your car chatters all down the road. Here comes Pastor Bart. No, they should know you by your See, some of us hadn't changed our oil, and we're just like our cars. We chattering down the road. People hear us coming, and they move, they walk away, they clear the road. It's toxic. Do people light up when you leave the room? Or do they light up when you come in? Are you toxic? Are you blowing smoke? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. There's a man in that tree. And he saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste to come down, for today, everybody say today, I must abide at thy house. This is beyond his wildest expectations. All he wanted to do was catch a glimpse of this man. Maybe he heard about Matthew, his fellow tax collector, who had been going around with these disciples and been changed. Maybe that motivated him, because he heard that somebody in his line of business had changed. And if he could do it for Matthew, he could do it for him. Maybe he did hear about blind Bartimaeus being healed on the road to Jericho and how he got healed. We don't know what motivated him, but something made him get up, risk his life, leave his surroundings, leave his wealth, leave his comfort zone, climb out on a tree, get out on the limb and say, look at me, take me. And because he did that, Christ said, come on, let's have dinner. I'd love to eat with you today. Love to come to your place. See, he wants to be your friend. He wants to change your oil. Free. It ain't even $29.95. You don't even have to use no coupons, you cheap folks. Whew, it did come for a price. Mighty big price, that blood that he shed. But it don't cost you anything. Just to receive. And he says, and he made haste. That's an important, say made haste. When Christ calls you, when he tells you to show up, don't get around to it. Don't hesitate. Don't be slow as molasses and just someday. What would have happened if Zacchaeus probably, you know, in his flesh, he's probably thinking, not today. No, I don't want to do this today. I'm not ready. I don't want to go out in that big crowd of people because they don't like me anyway. And I ain't gonna leave my bodyguards to go out there. I'm not going to definitely climb up that tree, God, so he can see me. There is no way. There is no way on this earth I'm going to do that. You don't think he fought the whole way up that tree? I don't think he's any different than you and me. And every time God told him something, I want you to go out. No. I want you to get in that crowd and push. No. I want you to get around that crowd, climb up a tree, and let him see you. No. How many times did he have to say yes? How many times did he have to get up in that deal? What if he had said, I'll do it the next time Jesus comes through? This was the last time Jesus was coming through. 2 weeks later, he was crucified. He never made that trip down that road ever again. If Zacchaeus had taken and procrastinated, which is a deadly sin, it's not mentioned in the Bible, but for us Christians, it's a deadly sin, because procrastination will keep us from our blessings. If he had procrastinated, he would have missed an opportunity to have lunch with Jesus. He would have missed an opportunity to have his sins washed away, to be cleansed. And I bet you had some sin, a lot of it. And of course, there are going to be those that remember you who you were. It says, when they saw it, they were all murmured, saying, that was he gone to a guest with a man who is a sinner. Told you in every kind of sermon I can possibly tell you, the people ain't going to talk good about you even when you start serving God. I can't believe. You know, he used to be the biggest drug dealer in the city of Spring. You know, even when you get saved, they label you as that guy that was hooked on crack for 10 years. Now he's serving God. Why do we have to start it out with the prefix of that guy hooked on crack for 10 years? Why do we have to label people in the Christian community when the world does that already? Why don't we just say they are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, serving God, on fire, doing exploits for the kingdom, and that's the end of the story? So many of us even want to tell people because of our shame, because we have not forgiven ourselves. I was a crackhead for 10 years. Who cares? Unless it helps a fellow crackhead. I mean, if you're there ministering and you're there and you're in the privacy and it's something that's helping him, but sometimes people don't need to know where you came from. You know, well, Pastor Bart, I was a prostitute. Well, please don't tell the men of this church. We don't really need to know that. Old things passed away. All things are new. We are a new creation in Christ. Whether you want to let it go or not, we all, as brothers and sisters of Christ, should let it go. Amen. See, Christ did not come for the healthy. He came for the sick. He was right where he needed to be. There was a sick person hanging on the limb of a tree. He was right where he needed to be when he needed to be there. And he said, come down, let's have lunch. You are healed. I don't see you as Zacchaeus, that tax collector, anymore. I see you as a mighty man of God. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Can you imagine your pawn shop dealer getting saved? Say, man, I should have given you $250 for that guitar instead of $50. And man, here you go. There's $1,000 because I got to restore this to you because I just found the Lord. And I should have never charged you for this, my brother. I'm saved. You're saved. God woke me up in the middle of the night. He told me to restore. You know, that fourfold restoration was the required of the person who would steal a sheep. If you were a sheep stealer, got to say that right. If you were a sheep stealer, if you were caught, part of the penalty is you had to pay that person that you stole their sheep four times what you had taken. So when Zacchaeus made that, he knew that. He knew he had stolen from some sheep. He knew he had taken from his brethren. He knew he had to restore. And if he had stole something, in other words, he didn't earn it even by usury, he took your money, like I talked when he went to Lauren's house and he took the money because he needed the Armani suit. He goes back to Lauren and says, I'm going to give you 10 grand back because I shouldn't have done that. Now that's somebody got their oil changed. I'm serious. You know, sometimes we get all We get in here, we sing, we shout, we speak in tongues, we run the aisles, we do all this, and we think that's all God wants, but sometimes he wants you to go make things right with a brother or sister you did wrong. Sometimes he's going to ask you to do something very uncomfortable, restore something that you have destroyed because of things that you did when you weren't saved. Yes, in the kingdom and going on to be with glory and be in heaven, you're taken care of. You got your get out of hell free card, okay? Praise God, glory to be. But on this earth, there's still things that we held accountable for. On this earth, there's still things to live a life more abundant that we have to face. And Zacchaeus didn't have to go to Sunday school to learn this. He did not have to get any special teachings or any special prayer booklets. He did not have to come into this altar, get anointed with oil, and get beat over the head by all the sisters that were up there. Yeah, it's always women up there with the oil, just no makeup, hair in a bun, just beating you down. Pulling you to left, pull you to right, pull you to left, pull you to right. Just leave me alone. All he had to have was a meeting with Christ. When he came back from that meeting, a real meeting with Christ, he left there knowing what wrong and right was and what needed to be restored immediately. And he was not afraid to get his oil changed. See, many of us are afraid to get our oil changed. We're afraid to give up something. Something that's been bugging us for 20 years, that's kept us down, that's kept us, for some reason, we wonder why we're as we go down the street. Why our lifters are knocking. Why we live in an apartment for 6 months till we get the free rent and then we're looking for a new apartment to get into. And your kids know it. Your kids' friends know it. They know when you're getting near the end of a lease, it's time to look for another apartment and get the free rent. You've lived your life that way 20 years. And you wonder why people avoid you when they hear you coming down the street. Your lifter's just knocking. You never fully changed. You never allowed Christ to change your oil fully. You left some dirty stuff in there and it fouled up the whole thing. Your emission system's ruined. What you're putting out is garbage. Now, there is therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, but there is conviction. There is a time when God speaks to you, and he speaks to me. And in my point, it came to me, and I was reading out of the book of Genesis, and I was looking at Abraham, and I was seeing how he was a friend of God, and it was because God knew that he would do everything that he was asked. Abraham was a moon worshiper. He was a Chaldean. He wasn't even Jewish. No, we think of Abraham, oh, he's a Jewish. No, he wasn't Jewish. He was from that place in Iran. And God blessed him to be the father of many nations. Isaac is where the Hebrew nation was birthed. Abraham wasn't no Jew. He was the Jew's enemy. That made y'all think. Now, you're going to go back and read your Genesis now, aren't you? But Abraham, even though he did wrong sometimes, even though he tried to pimp his wife to get some favor, even though he tried to do all those things, God, when he instructed him to do something, he did it. So I'm sitting up here and I'm reading about Abraham, and Lewis has been on my back for 6 months about my health, and he's been, and then I've already set in on one thing here. I've met you. We haven't had any classes yet, but I met you, and God said, yes, that is it. We shook hands and I knew this was definitely a light alliance. It was from God. It was a divine appointment. And I got to this place and I said, yes, I know that you've been telling me, God, to lose weight, but I want to keep that oil. Even if it makes me chatter, or when I go upstairs, I go, that's worse than the chattering. Call 911. You know, I went over there to what is that place I go to across the street? Huh? LA Fitness, yeah. And the Stairmaster looks easy, doesn't it? But it burns 900 calories in an hour. More than the treadmill, more than the bicycle, more than anything else. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to burn some calories here. I get on that Stairmaster thing. About 10 minutes, I'm thinking death is at my door. About 20 minutes into it, I'm thinking it ain't worth the 900 calories. I'm going to find a different machine. See, that's the way we are. It's not worth the pain. It's not worth the things that we have to go through. We change machines. We change up. Even though God has spoken to us and said this is what he wants, we try to look for a gray area. We try to look for something that'll fit with our lifestyle, even though we know our lifestyle is not correct. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save which was lost. God had just provided his son to perform a mission of saving Zacchaeus. And he was saved. He was no longer Zacchaeus the tax collector. The publican. Whatever names else they used to call him. I'm sure they had pretty colorful names for him.